we're going to have the scripture read. We're going to get into the scriptures. Daniel chapter 4.
Reading today is Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was laying in the bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God and the spirit of the holy gods in him.
I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed.
In the visions I saw while laying in bed, I looked, and there before me was a holy one, a messenger coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him."
The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you.
Daniel interprets the dream. Then Daniel was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, "Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you." Belteshazzar answered, "My lord, if the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries, the tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the wild animals, and having nesting places in its branches for the bird. Your Majesty, you were that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth.
You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump bound with iron and bronze in the field of the grass, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him.' This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High that has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from the people and will live with the wild animals and will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until You acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that the kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue.
The dream is fulfilled. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and glory of my majesty?" Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes."
Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?"
At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne, and I became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble.
This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. God, as we talk about your scriptures, Father, I ask that your spirit will speak to us, God. So often we're distracted by so many things. And Lord, when we come on a Sunday morning or Wednesday or whatever day of the week, Lord, to gather with the community of faith, we don't understand what you're trying to communicate to us because we have so many distractions in our lives. But right now, Lord, I just ask God that you will bring us clarity and you will allow us to hear what it is we need to hear and move in our hearts and our minds. Amen. So this guy Nebuchadnezzar, we've been going through the book of Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar has been going up and down and up and down. And he's been on this spiritual voyage of trying to figure out what life's really about. And he doesn't even know it. He's been evil, wicked, pride-filled. He's been all about himself his whole life. It's only been about him. And his sole purpose is to do what he wants to do with his life when he wants to do it. He's like a selfish or super selfish child that if they don't get their way, they start swinging. Maybe you know one of those children, or maybe you were one of those children. But Nebuchadnezzar had authority and power, and because of his authority and power, he could do to people whatever he wanted to do. And when he didn't get what he wanted to get, he would impose his will upon others. Now, in this text, we discover that Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. And in his dream, he is trying to figure out what it's all about. And he's gathered all of the wizards and all of the astrologers and all the people from his group of wise men. And they can't tell him his dream. They can't explain what it means. But then Daniel, Belshazzar, comes and once again interprets his dream. But if you notice, before he shared what the dream was about, he was afraid. He was afraid to share. Because he knew what Nebuchadnezzar was capable of. And he knew what the interpretation meant. And he knew the potential for what could happen. So Nebuchadnezzar was at a place in his life where he really thought he had his whole act together and everything was going smooth. And he had this dream and he just wanted some interpretation. But the interpretation that took place was one in which called him out and called him out as somebody that was not at all who he thought he was. But he still didn't listen. So I have seven things God is saying in Daniel chapter 4. And the first thing that Daniel is saying in Daniel chapter 4, God's saying in Daniel chapter 4, is I hate pride. The dream. Now you may say, God doesn't hate. He does. He hates certain things. And one of the things he hates is pride. And if you've ever been a pride-filled individual, I'm trying to figure out what the feedback's all about up in here. Hopefully they won't work anymore. If you've ever been a pride-filled person, when I say that, if you've ever been a pride-filled person, if you've ever been a pride-filled person, we're all laughing at that, but we're not laughing at that. If you've ever been a pride-filled person, oftentimes when we're pride-filled, we don't even know we're pride-filled. And we have so much pride that we don't realize we have pride. Yet we live in a culture in which, and even within the church circles a lot of times, we find that the embracing of a low self-image means that someone doesn't have pride. That's not what we should care about ourselves, and we should think that, you know, we are a blessed child of God and we should have a good self-image. And we live in a place in which these young teenage girls and women are often bombarded over and over and over again by the media saying that you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you'll never be good enough. And this person's perfect, but you're not, you won't be. I want to say today that you are, and you are who God made you to be for a special reason and a special purpose. And He has a plan and a unique avenue for you to go in your life that is special to only you. Never mistake low self-esteem with pride. God hates pride. To live like there is no God is pride. Nebuchadnezzar lived like there was no God. Yet he had multiple gods and he had multiple temples. And when he looked out over his kingdom, he saw temple, temple, temple to his different gods. And he named Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Belshazzar after his own gods. He ripped off their names and he called out his own name upon them that he made up from his gods, from his false gods. Yet over and over again, we see that Nebuchadnezzar discovers God in the midst of dilemmas for other people that he imposed, throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He found that it didn't work. And there's a fourth person in there, likely Jesus, that came and revealed that, you know, you're not going to harm these guys. And he saw the faith of them, and he saw their faith was abundant. But then, in the next paragraph, like we talked about last week, what he does is he builds a false god. He remembered his dream, and he says, you know what? I am going to build a statue 9 feet tall that is all encased in gold. There's not going to be any bronze. There's not going to be any clay. It's just going to be gold. And I'm going to make people worship that. So we've got this guy that's really thinking he's all that. And he's living like there's no real God, even though he acknowledges the God. In chapter 2, he acknowledges the God when he's face down on the floor. And he says, there's got to be a God. There's no way anybody could ever interpret a dream without hearing the dream first. And to share the dream and then interpret it. And then builds the false God. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are saved. And now we're in chapter 4 and we find that Nebuchadnezzar once again has a dream. And this dream is one that he doesn't understand, but he shares it. And no one wants to interpret it. But Daniel does. And Daniel can. And when he does, nothing really happens. Because Nebuchadnezzar has so much pride. In Acts 10:34, God is no respecter of persons. You may go, what does that have to do with anything? Well, we find in here that Nebuchadnezzar shares something very similar in the text when we read it. And God doesn't need to do things because we want him to do things. And he doesn't need to have things happen because we think we need them to happen. He can do what he needs to do in certain situations, even if we don't think it's the right option. The second thing is never compromise the truth. Never compromise the truth. The interpretation of the dream. Daniel was not willing to compromise the truth, even though he knew it could cost him his life. We have a tendency to compromise the truth in all sorts of situations, in all sorts of circumstances in our lives. We have a tendency to compromise truth. And we even see on our money in America that the truth will set you free, right? Does it say that? Exactly, right? In God we trust, but the truth will set you free. And so we trust in God. I'm glad you guys knew that. It says, in God we trust. Because we forget that, right? Nebuchadnezzar didn't trust in God, but the truth sets us free. And if the truth sets us free, then we will be free indeed. I think often we compromise God in so many different ways in our lives. Because we say, oh, it's just a white lie. And when you know your spouse comes to you and says, hey, how do I look today? How do you like this dress or these shoes or whatever? And we go, oh, you look great, honey. When in fact you don't think that's true. You're like, well, that's good, because it won't get me in trouble that way, right? But it's still a lie. A lie is a lie, right? Even if we like to call it a white lie. I see some people turning to their spouse and going, I would never do that, honey. You always look good. I want to share one funny story. Today, someone came up to me and said, man, you're going to trip over your pants. You need to hem your pants. They're too long. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. I do need to hem my pants. They are too long. But I don't know how to hem. Right? And then I shared this story with this person. One time I had some of my hemmed pants sitting on my bed in my house. And my friend Mike from New York, when I was in the ministry in New York, he was at my house and he walked by my room. And he's like, he had to go to the bathroom and he looked in the room and saw the pants on the bed all laid out flat. And he comes out of the bathroom and says, hey, Colby, I got to ask you a question. I said, yeah, Mike, what's going on? He said, whose Smurf pants are in the bed? On the bed. Hey, when you got short legs, you got short legs. What can you do? It's genetics. I can't help it. I can't find pants my length. But never compromise the truth. And what I liked about that comment that person made was, hey, it's truth. Look at your pants, man. You're going to trip. Right? And you take it and you're like, yeah, that's true. It is true. Sometimes we don't like to hear the truth, do we? I'm not saying, you know, go purposely hurt people's feelings because something is true. Man, you're really ugly. That's not what I'm talking about. Because maybe that person's not ugly to somebody else. Right? Or, you know, we want to say things that are encouraging and inspiring. At the same time, we need to speak truth in love, right? Speak the truth in love. Daniel spoke the truth. He did not care what was going to happen to his life. He did care because he said, oh boy. And the king knew he didn't want to share. But he shared because he knew that truth is ultimately what really matters. I wonder if we really believe that truth really matters. That it really matters. The truth is always right. Is it okay to turn from the truth so someone or something or so we won't get hurt? Is it okay to compromise? Is it okay? Because it's a slippery slope, isn't it? Daniel was not willing to compromise. And we're going to see throughout the book of Daniel that he's not willing to compromise no matter what. It's fascinating. Because I think we compromise in real minimalistic ways. And we don't think it's a big deal. But he wasn't willing to compromise. Even though he knew it could cost him his life multiple times. The third thing is there's only one way to escape my wrath. Let's read verse 27. Verse 27. And it says this. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Ready? Renounce your sins by doing what is right. And your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. Imagine calling out a king that you knew could take your life. He flat out called him out. Called him to the floor. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right. Renounce your sins by doing what is right. Repent. Repent. Turn from your sins and do what's right. And what does Daniel mention as right? Caring for the oppressed. I don't know how many of you have been to third world nations. Often in third world nations, there's a huge separation from the wealthy and the poor. Daniel's calling them out and saying, take care of the oppressed, because kings often just reign on high and don't know anything about what's going on with the majority of the people, and they make decisions that are for their own benefit. And maybe it'll enhance their kingdom, but what it does oftentimes is it compromises and it harms people and hurts people. And they step all over the oppressed. And Daniel's calling them out because he's probably seen it over and over again. And Nebuchadnezzar just walks all over the oppressed. And he calls them out and says, repent, turn from your wickedness, he says. Turn from your wickedness. He's basically calling the king wicked. Turn from your wickedness. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness will be by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. So Daniel's saying, hey, you know what? If you repent, Maybe this calamity will not come upon you. Maybe you will be able to continue in your reign. But if you don't, there's going to be some issues. There's going to be some major things that take place in your life that you're not going to enjoy. There's no... You may say, when is the time to turn? When do I turn? The time to turn is immediate. It's one of these about faces you do immediately because God comes upon you and you realize that, you know what, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I need to be turned. I need to be changed. And it's at that moment that you make that turn and you go toward God instead of away from God. And you focus on God instead of not focusing on God. And your life becomes about God and not about yourself. There's no guarantee of not reaping the benefits of sin. There's no benefits in sin, right? But there's no guarantee that the sins, like when we turn to God and repent, that the sins of our past won't come up and hit us in the face again. Would you agree with that? Because the corruption and the messed up stuff we do has a tendency to hinder us. But God can set us free from the bondage. But unfortunately, a lot of times, we leave a horrible wake in our path when we sin. I mean, has sin ever come to a place in your life where it's done nothing but cause corruption and havoc? And the people that are all around that particular situation, they're like, "What in the world have you done? Why have you caused so much pain and grief? And why have you hurt us like this?" I guarantee there's somebody in your life that you can think about that sin, and maybe it's you, and maybe you need to repent. But you've seen it. You've been hurt by it. You've known the pain and the hurt and the emotional wreck it may have caused you. But I want to say that God can set us free from even that. God can set us free from the bondage and the captivity of other people trying to come in and claw away and rip away the blessing that God has for us. And Nebuchadnezzar tried to do that over and over and over again and afflicted people with pain and hurt. But God's like, "Don't you know? I've been here. I'm here. I want to do new things. I've given you these dreams, Nebuchadnezzar. I've given you these visions. I'm trying to clarify for you who I actually am and what I'm actually about. But you're failing to notice. You're failing to acknowledge who I am." And when we don't acknowledge who God is, all sorts of messed up stuff happens in our lives. Nebuchadnezzar failed to recognize God. He gave God lip service. He said great things about God, but he never lived for God. There's this fourth thing. I'm patient. I'm patient, but I'm just. God says, "I'm patient, but I'm just." He's going to wait, but he is just, and he's going to judge. He's going to be the judge. He's going to determine, you know, do I have life or do I not? He's going to ultimately be the judge of all judges. God's calling us out. I'm patient, but I'm just. And in 28, all this happened to the king Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, God waited a year. He waited an entire year for Nebuchadnezzar to repent. He gave him the dream and the vision, and he's like, "I'm going to wait a year, and I'm going to wait a year for you to repent." He gave him an entire year to repent. And then Nebuchadnezzar. So in 29, 12 months later, as the king was walking, he's walking on his roof. Of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, look at what he said, "Is not this the great Babylon, I have built as the royal resident by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. Whoa! What? I have built as the royal resident by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. I wonder how many times in our lives have we come to a place where we've made it so much about us that, wow, look what I've done. Look at my life. Look at the, I'm amazing. I can do all things through me who gives me strength. I am all that and a bag of chips. Man, am I amazing. Right? And we start calling out our praises. And we start saying, yeah, I'm the best. Right? And we start like, huh. This scripture that says, do not think of yourself more, what? More highly than you ought. Nebuchadnezzar was way up here. He's thinking about how amazing he is, what he's done. Look at what I've done by my mighty hand. And God's like, I've had enough. That's it. That's it. You're going to say that? It's done. Let's see what happens with you for the next 7 years. See ya, buddy. And God lets him go. God sends him out. It's like almost the opposite of commissioning somebody. You're decommissioning somebody. You're like, psh, go out. You want to see what it's like to live in a difficult place? You're going to go live with the beasts of the field. You're going to go eat grass. Your fingernails are going to become like those of a bird, like an eagle or a bird, any kind of bird. You're going to be all nasty. You're going to smell gross. You're going to have people laugh at you. You're going to be ridiculed. Man, that doesn't sound like a fun time, does it? The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what I decree for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from your people and will live with the wild animals. He's living with the wild animals. I don't know how all that looked. I don't know what happened with that. But I do know that I wouldn't want to live with wild animals. Sometimes we need something tragic to happen in our lives before we wake up to the reality of who God is. God is patient, but he's just. There's a fifth thing. Raise your eyes to me, acknowledge me, and I will forgive you. God's calling us out. Raise your eyes to me, acknowledge me, and I'll forgive you. When that happens, all sorts of stuff begins to get ripped away from us. All the junk, all the baggage, all the stuff that's hindered us over the years can be ripped away, can be torn away. Do you have baggage and debris from your past that is hindering you now? Are you at a place right now that the stuff still hinders you and the stuff is still holding you back? Well, God wants us to turn that over. Nebuchadnezzar had all sorts of stuff. God's forgiveness reaches far away places. It goes far beyond what we could ever hope for or imagine. His forgiveness is so abundant. There's such simplicity in forgiveness, yet for us humans, it's so complicated. It's often hard for us to forgive people. A lot of times I hear people say, oh, I've forgiven. But in reality, they've just said the words. We do need to speak the words, but we need to live the life. We need to live in that forgiveness. Because a lot of times people say they've forgiven somebody, when in reality, they're still holding on and clinging all that pain and hurt and that stuff. And true forgiveness is when you can actually turn all that over to God and forgive somebody, like say, all right, God, here it is. And we can move on to be who God wants us to be. Sometimes it's really hard to even forgive ourselves. And we have difficulty forgiving ourselves and the person who we are. But God's like, don't you know that in me, if you're in me, if your hope is in me, if your trust is in me, if your foundation is in me, if your grounding is in me, if your roots are in me, that you're forgiven. Live in the power of forgiveness, not in the power of the enemy where baggage and sin and corruption are still hindering us. All that garbage from the past. The sixth thing, I will not only forgive you, but I will completely restore you. How about that? 36 and 37. At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me. But why did that even happen to him? It happened to him because he came to this place in 34. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. Raised his eyes toward heaven. And my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures for generations to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. You remember that passage in Acts I shared? There it is, appearing there. Very similar. He does as he pleases. With the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth, no one can hold back the hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. There's something strange going on here. The glory and honor. My honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of, what does it say? My kingdom. Does pride seem to be creeping back in a little bit? My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored. My throne became even greater than before. Did you know God wants us to experience restoration? There's all these shows on TV that they rip houses apart and they restore them. And there's all this restoration that takes place in a house. God wants to restore this house. He wants to restore our souls. He wants us to be regenerated, renewed, and become new creations, and to embrace that every day, and to discover the restoration every day, and for that old kitchen to be pulled out, and for a nice new one to be put in, and for those walls to be sanded down, and to be made smooth, and to get a fresh coat. Sorry, I'm doing a restoration project myself right now. But really, this is the temple. We have a soul, and God wants us to live in the beauty and splendor of Him. Not in the pain and corruption of our past. Some of us have made poor choices in our lives. We need to embrace a God that forgives. We may need to confess to somebody else that we've sinned against them and hurt them and pained them. Repentance needs to be lived out and made real in our own personal lives. And the seventh thing that God wants to communicate to us through Daniel here. When all is done, tell everyone who has blessed you. When all is done, tell everyone who has blessed you. And look at verses 1 through 3. To the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. Do we actually pronounce that in our lives? Do we share that with people? Oh, I'm honored and privileged and blessed to be able to share that God's dominion and power and glory endure forever. Have you ever said that to somebody? Have you ever gone up to somebody? I am so honored and blessed to tell you about God's beauty and splendor and his glory. They endure forever. I mean, have you ever done that? Have you ever just like gone up to a random person? No, nobody has. It'd be kind of weird, right? But God's calling us out. He's like, hey, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and let Christ's light shine upon you. But don't just stop there. Go into the nations and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching, ready? Teaching them all that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. So this commission, we're called out to go and do. We're called out to be. We're called out to live. We're called out to discover hope and joy in us so we can share that hope and joy to others. And let me tell you something. When we live it out, when we actually live this out, there's no telling what God can do through us. I think, sadly, a lot of us are satisfied with what's called a quiet faith. I've heard this so many times when I've met with families before a funeral, a memorial service. Oh, they had a quiet. I say, tell me about your dad or your mom's faith or your uncle's faith or your cousin's faith. Tell me about their faith. I have heard so many times they had a quiet faith. God's not calling us out to be quiet. He is calling us to be still and know that I am God. He doesn't say, shut your mouth, be still, and never talk to anybody else about me. No, he's like, be still, know that I am God. You will know that I am God when you're still. But we are called out to do what Nebuchadnezzar does here. It is my pleasure. Imagine you have some friends over your house and you're like, it is my pleasure to have you at my house, but even more so, it is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me, in me, and through me. Did you know your friends, when you share your story, we all have a story, when you share your story about what God has done, they can't argue with you. That's what God did in you. They may try to argue the scriptures and stuff, but they can't argue with what God has done in you. And have you ever shared your story? Have you come to this place where your story's actually been told to another human being? That baby's like, see, I'm going to share it. I'm going to share my story. You share your story, and we'll be golden. Preach it out. Speak it. Live your story. Live like God wants you to live. Love like God wants you to love. Hope like God wants you to hope. Discover the joy that God wants you to have. Don't just say God's real. Live because he is real. May your life be a reflection of a God that's real. Not a God that's made of gold or silver or bronze. May your God be the true God, the Most High God. The one that is, it's a pleasure to talk to you about God. I mean, I can't help but talk to you about God because it's a pleasure. How great are his signs. How mighty his wonders. His kingdom is eternal. It's an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. Did you know it's not all about you and me? This has been going on from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. And there have been people that have come before us, this great cloud of witness that's come before us. Wow. God's like, trust in me, hope in me, discover the love in me, and man, your life's going to be different. And I'm sure if you are living the faith, you're going to experience some messed up stuff happened to you. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Be faithful, persevere, and discover the pleasure in sharing who God is with your life. Because it should be a joy and a pleasure. Don't have a silent faith. Every family I've ever met with that said that that person that has passed has had a silent faith, guess what? It was so silent, they never knew who God was. It was so out of the conversation that God wasn't in the picture. Don't be silent. Share your story. Let's pray. Lord, it's so amazing to be able to talk about your scriptures. God, there's so much in the book of Daniel, so much to be learned, Lord. Lord, how your restoration came to Nebuchadnezzar. I can't tell, Lord, if he came to faith in you or not. I don't know, Lord. It seems like he still had some pride issues. But God, even if we come to faith, a lot of times we still wrestle with pride. We still wrestle with selfish ambition. We still wrestle with all these things that hinder us, God. But Lord, as the music is played, Lord, and God, this song, coming back to the heart of worship, Lord, where it's all about you. God, may our life truly be all about you. May our hope be fully in you. May our foundation be completely based in you. Lord, may we find it a pleasure to talk about you. Lord, may it truly be a pleasure. Not scary, not frightening, but at first it might be, Lord. God, may we pray in a way in which we'll be able to discover the pleasure in talking about you because of the amazing things you've done and the things that you're going to do. And Lord, may we be people that truly discover hope in you and rest in you and joy in you. God, may we hate pride. May we never compromise the truth. Lord, may we escape from your wrath through repentance, and may we discover how you are patient and just. And Lord, may you raise your eyes. May we raise our eyes up to you and acknowledge you and discover your forgiveness. And may we not forget, Lord, that you do forgive and you will completely restore. And Lord, when all is done, may we tell everyone who has blessed us in the name of Jesus. Amen.